Hello, and welcome to Nightcast. I'm here with...
Mark, I play Infernals.
James, I play Trolls.
Oh shit, sorry, it's me, I was playing Animal Crossing. I'm Ben, yeah, it's good on the show. Today we're going to be talking about Trolls. Before we get into it, I'm going to run off my list of plugs. We're uploading articles on our website every Tuesday and Thursday. And on those very same days, the games from our Twitch stream are going to be going up on YouTube. That Twitch stream, you can find at twitch.tv/nightsmachine. We stream 7:30 GMT every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we get tournaments in the weekends where we can manage. Finally, if you want to chuck us some dollars, support us a bit, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/nightsmachine. I think that's all the plugs. So, James, why have you ditched one of the best factions in the game for one of the worst?
I want an excuse to lose.
I feel that in my soul.
But more realistically, we're in the middle of, like, you know, an unprecedented situation in which we can't really go and play games. So I'm not particularly interested in being super serious and, you know, repping mercs 100 times while we're all in lockdown and not playing any big competitions. So I thought I'd have a bit of fun with something. And I thought maybe Trolls, you know, had some unexplored things to look at, and maybe they were a bit underrated, so I wanted to test it out for myself.
Sure, and now you've done that, do you think they're a bit underrated?
I do, actually, yeah. I don't think they're as bad as the Scorn memes tells me.
Okay, but do you think they're the worst faction in the game?
Yes, I do.
How about you, Mark? What's your take on Trolls and where they rank?
I get pretty aggressively annoyed every time I look at them. I recently did a little thought experiment in the Trolls Facebook page, where I went through and I tried to put the points cost of pretty much the entire faction to somewhere that I felt was appropriate for the rules. And the amount of times I found myself, like, lowering the points cost of models by 2 and 3 points was somewhat perturbing, shall we say.
I think you had some slightly overly aggressive ones in that post, like Battle Bears down by 2 points seemed a bit much.
That's entirely possible. I wouldn't defend all of the changes that I'd made, but I think there's this perception when I write troll lists where I expect there to be an extra thing. Like, normally you can split lists up into sort of discrete chunks. There's this sort of mix of couple of warjacks, couple of units, battle engine maybe, few solos, go from there. And the mix will vary in composition depending on what you're playing, but generally there's like an amount of discrete things, and trolls have a lower amount of those. And it's just really frustrating when you build lists, because the models that you're clicking on, they don't seem that overcosted for what they do, but because pretty much everything in the faction feels like it's in that position to me, it can get pretty frustrating building lists for them, and the impact that they tend to have on the table tends to be pretty low commensurately. I also am not a big fan of the themes, which I know we're going to get to later, but there's a lot of restrictions in those that I think are somewhat unnecessary in light of the current field especially.
I think for me the problem is the Krillstone. I think not only are you not getting enough things, you're starting your list by paying 9 points for a thing that does nothing apart from support. I think that a big step for Trolls and fixing it might be to give every theme the option to requisition a main Krillstone with UA.
That's a lot of points. Theoretically.
Yeah, but it's fucking Trolls.
It's arguable whether it's worth that amount of points, but they can't just go giving away 9-point rec options, right?
Why? It's Trolls.
I think philosophically they can't, because like that sets an unreasonable precedent.
Okay. So what if it's a Min Creole Stone without UA?
Yeah, that'd be fine, obviously.
Like, you often think about it, when you're writing a list, you often find that you've got your first 2-3 solos and the third one's kind of, I guess I'll have some whelps.
Mm-hmm.
What if you said, well, I'll just take a Min Creole Stone?
I guess it depends what theme you're in, because I think there's some pretty compelling choices in most of the themes. In terms of, like, Dunedain Archons, Boom Howler,
yeah,
Felcaller Heroes, yeah. That kind of thing.
I actually stand by my original point. I think Min Creole Stone with UA is a fine repetition slot.
I mean, there's an argument whether they should just put the cost of it down in general, but...
That's a general take. Mark, you put these themes in an order, and I want to know why.
I've put these themes in an order because I wanted to start with what I personally felt was the worst one, so that we got to say some relatively happy things towards the end.
See, I actually think that you may have put it in best to worst order. Maybe that's a bit spicy, but I think that Creole Company and Band of Heroes are the two best themes.
Sykes, what's your take on that? Do you agree with that perception?
I'm not going to come out and say he's wrong. I think Storm in the North has some limitations, because you're generally getting a lot of the same models as Band of Heroes, except you don't have mass RFP, right? And Creel Company has, like, a good amount of internal synergy, although it has some inherent flaws as well, which we'll get to later.
I tell you what, though, aren't you glad that Creel Company can now bring war beasts without ranged weapons.
I mean, that is quite good. I mean, it means you can bring more than, like, three beasts.
Pre-Oblivion, you could only bring war beasts.
Jesus Christ.
So, to be fair, that only excludes, like, the non-elemental lights and the mauler and the brawler.
So if we think Storm of the North is the worst theme in Trolls...
No, I think it's probably better than Paradunia.
Okay.
Maybe not. I maybe think Storm of the North might be the worst theme in Trolls, but that's not saying.
Yeah, I think you can pull decent lists out of Power of Dunia.
Let's talk Storm of the North then. Why is it so bad when it has access to a lot of well-designed models? Like, we talked about how I was maybe wrong to discount Battle Bears quite so significantly.
You're right. Storm of the North probably has objectively the best models in the faction. The problem is that it effectively sits in the same spot as Band of Heroes, and Band of Heroes has objectively the best team benefit in possibly the entire game. And that's literally it. Like, playing Band of Heroes not Storm, you lose access to Battle Bears, Northkin Raiders, and Fire Eaters, and you don't get the possibility for Coldstone, but instead you get Fenblades, who are almost as good in the same slot as Northkin Raiders, and you get RFP on every single one of your warrior models.
I think Fenblades are arguably better than Northkin Raiders anyway.
Yeah, I see that. Fenblades are pretty good when they RFP everything. And especially if you're playing Cold Grimmer and they have affliction to make them not need to worry about armor as well. So you've played both themes now, James. What do you think about that?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't entirely a fair caster comparison, because I was playing Band with Kalandra, and that has a lot of synergy in a quality caster. And I played Storm with Gumbion, and it didn't really work out.
I think I actually quite like that Gumbion list, and I do think Gumbion is a quality cast.
I didn't think my list was good, but I do think Gumbion's maybe fine in the right list. Maybe if the Squeal Company turns up something for him, then he could see some play.
Roadhogs. I guess my question would be, do you feel like you could have written that Gumbion list in Band of Heroes?
Can you take the Coldstone in Band of Heroes? You can, right? But it's just not as effective.
Yeah, but it still works in the base game. You can always take two stones, James.
To be fair, yeah, I probably could have written in Band of Heroes, couldn't I? And just taken Fenblades instead of the Northkin Raiders, and still taken Champions, and still taken... Well, I couldn't take Bears, obviously, but... Something equivalent. So, in summary, yes, I think I could probably have taken it. It probably would have been better. Which is the nub of our problem, right?
Mark, the counterpoint, because you thought Storm of the North was the best theme, why do you think that?
So, I'm beginning to shift my view based on what you guys have said. I can understand the perspective of the Band of Heroes theme benefit swinging it in favour of having that over Storm. I have to give value to some of the models that are in there. Like, Bears are decent. Northkin Raiders are in a possible world where they cost fewer than 15 of the Queen's points. Maybe.
Wait, Northkin Raiders are 15.
They are 15.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem that I'm talking about, right? Like, everything fucking costs more than you think that it naturally should for its role.
Yeah.
Just because this unit has tough and guns, I'm paying through the fucking nose for them. And the guns are like range 6 or whatever.
They're range 8, power 12.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So. That's, like, acceptable, but it's not 15 points acceptable, is it?
I think AD and Trolls is a thing they pay big for.
If it wasn't so grotesquely expensive to get Vet Leader in the theme, I'd be more happy with them. But it is grotesquely expensive.
Who has Vet Leader?
The Hooch Hauler.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, it does, doesn't it? That's pants.
So, yeah, Return the Take. Like, it just... it's... got models in it that are good, and they struggle slightly with costing, that's all. So when I look at it, I don't think worst theme. Whereas, I mean, we'll come to a Creel Company discussion later. I don't think it has as much going for it personally, but I'm just... I have to give Storm at least some credit. The main problem is it doesn't have a theme benefit, right? Like, the snowdrifts are almost completely useless.
It has a theme benefit for a few casters.
And that is what?
You get free upkeep.
Yeah, it makes Jarl more playable, right? Like, it makes Jarl fairly good.
Yes.
Does it make Jarl's melee weapon not be a sword that's called axe?
No, that's incredible.
Then I'm not interested. Jarl's just very confused about melee weapons, okay?
So, if you were playing Storm, what caster would you play, and why are they better in Storm than Band?
Well, we've mentioned Jarl already, right?
Yes. So
he seems like the obvious pick.
Jarl is the highlight because his kit is good, provided he doesn't have to pay for his three upkeeps. I would also throw a cheeky bone to Madrak 2. So I think if you're playing Madrak 2, then you're bringing 50 Creole Warriors, and you'd rather have plus 2 strength and plus 1 speed from Storm of the North. You're laughing at me, but I'm not incorrect.
You could just play a serious Madrak list.
Madrak 2, 50 Creole Warriors, they're POW 13 Weapon Masters, they're all decent armor and tough, and they just fill the board and are dickheads.
Are you laboring under the impression that they're POW 11 base?
They're all POW 12 Weapon Masters. What the fuck is this faction, you guys? Wait, no, you bring 2 Creole Stones, one of each type.
Ooh.
Plus 3 strength.
That work?
I don't think so. I think you can only benefit from one of them. What is Trolls? Why are they POW 10? Whatever. I'm done. Can I just veto this cast now because it's bullshit and leave?
No. No, we'll get on to that.
That's been our cast, guys. Thank you for listening. I'd like to read off a list of our patrons.
We'll get on to better themes, Ben. It's fine.
Sure.
Okay, so before Ben blows a tit, let's do that now.
Yeah, let's talk about why. We talked about why we think Band is better. I think we kind of covered Band of Heroes with that, I guess. So let's move on to Power of Dunia. James, how do you like Gristle 1?
I enjoyed playing that list quite a lot. I'm pretty sure it's like a relatively well-known list at this point in the Trolls community, which is active and vocal. So I actually thought like that list has some promise, which is, you know,
I did too, but I don't think Gristle 1 is the caster.
I don't know. I've had it explained to me every which way, and I do think the hoof it for Morg is a big deal. I do think having Boundless Charge for Morg is a big deal, but I don't know. Calamity seems like big value, and so does having Boundless Charge.
So, for reference, the core of this list is Morg and a big blob of Rune Shapers and some Shamblers and 2 Dunian Archons and a Hermit, right?
5 units of Rune Shapers, to be more precise.
Your goal is to be really annoying and then eventually your opponent kills himself.
Well, hopefully Morg kills them, but I would take suicide as a second victory condition.
The objective of your list is to just be incredibly annoying. Just be in the middle of the table with an annoying brick with Dunian Archons and just suck. Make your opponent's life suck too.
Like, but I'm a long-standing Harby player from before Harby was insanely broken.
Yes.
And this appeals to me on many levels.
This is dog shit Harby, and that's fine. This is really much worse Harby.
I mean, yes, it's obviously worse than Harby, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
No, I don't think it's bad. I'm not convinced, but you played it and liked it, and I trust your opinion.
I did like it, and it seems like a list you could get a lot better with.
Yeah, do you think there's another archetype that exists in Power of Dunia?
No, I don't think so. Like, what are you going to do? Play a bunch of beasts with Doomshaper 2?
Doomshaper 2 or Borka 2, right?
It doesn't seem like a thing.
No. So I the other caster I'd say for this archetype to think about would be Kalandra.
Yeah, I've seen that talked about.
Star-crossed befuddled with an Arc Node.
Yeah, you amp up the annoying aspect of it, right?
I kind of see Cold Grimmer too, actually.
I saw a list submitted, you know, for a Vassal tournament or whatever, that was Madrak 1 in the same theme as well. And I can see that kind of as well. Like, anyone who makes them super annoying.
I have a long-standing hatred of Madrak 1, but I see it, I guess.
The theme has some potential, it just needs some, like, ironing out. The Rune Shapers still cost too much.
Yeah.
They absolutely cost too much.
Maybe they should have AD.
They absolutely should have AD.
Okay, James, shall we defend Creel Company?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just got good models in. That's all I got, really. The War Wagon is a good model. It's got the correct assortment of solos, and it's got good units. Like, basically all the units in that theme are at least tolerable, with the possible exception of Sluggers. I think that all the units in Creel Company are fine.
Yeah, like even things like Bushwhackers, I don't think they're that bad, really, are they?
I think Bushwhackers are okay. I think Scattergunners are okay. I think Borrowers are okay. Like, I think all the units are just kind of okay.
I think the thing that makes the theme better is that it starts off like with an inherent amount of like internal synergy of like the war wagons and things, all the things that knock things down, and then you've got the pig tanks to take advantage of that.
Mark the target to make all your low rat guns high rat.
Yeah, exactly. So it's got a lot of internal synergy, and it's got some good models like the pig tanks and boom howler inherent, like actually in the theme, which is nice.
And I think it's got a couple other things nice going for it, which is I think it's the theme where you're most likely to justify not having a Creel Stone. Because you're not bringing champions, and you could maybe just say, fuck it, my war wagons might not be in range, so I'll just play without it.
I would argue if you're bringing going like a war wagon build, you might take a Creel Stone anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's a really tanky model if you put the Creel Stone on it, and if you don't, then it's not.
And also, the things it's good at are things that matter right now. It's really good at killing infantry. Like, you've got war wagons that have all the good impact attack rules, you've got access to scatter gunners, Bushwhackers are bad, but they're pretty good at hosing infantry from 100 years away.
Yeah, it does make me think about the thing that's inherently bad about Creel Company at the moment, which is that it's a theme that's largely predicated on knocking things down.
It is.
And I can think of umpteen things, like, in the meta that cannot be knocked down and will not be knocked down.
I think its usage case isn't as broad as you'd like it to be, but I think you can play it into some of that stuff. Especially when you bring, like, a Grim 2 to get around no knockdown tough.
Yeah, but then you've still got all the Archons to deal with, and you've got Infernal Horrors that you can't deal with.
The Archons are a pain, for sure.
Like, so you're not getting any of your trash attacks, and you're not getting, like, accuracy from it. That would be my criticism of Creel Company, and why I think Band of Heroes is probably the best one.
Yeah, it might well be. I don't necessarily disagree with that, because Band of Heroes has a lot of similar qualities in terms of killing infantry, but has access to models that are accurate and hit hard and can maybe try and deal with Archons too.
Mark, do you want to weigh in on Creel Company?
I have precious little to say on it, honestly. Like, I get where you guys are coming from with the idea that it has some internal synergy. I'm just beyond the fact that it has access to Boom Howler 2 and Leadfoot and Treads without burning the Merc slot on them. I'm just not particularly enamoured with knockdown shooting as an archetype in the year of our Lord 2020, you know?
Both of you are kind of overstating the number of this list's targets that don't care about knockdown. I think you have to remember with Creel Company that it's not targeting stuff like Infernals, right? We're planning on using it to kill stuff with Wright.
Are we accepting that nothing plays Infernals then?
I think so, yes. I think part of the conceit of this is that this faction loses to Infernals, and we're going to move on from that. But I think that you're not, especially with Creel Company, the stuff that you're targeting, mostly you can knock it down. Sure, Immortals are a bit of a pain, but you can knock down Flames lists. You can knock down Doom Reavers lists.
You can't knock down Morochons.
Like I said, the Archons are tricky, but, like, if you just kill all the rest of it, then fuck it, who cares?
The key, though, wasn't just the knockdown portion of it, which I think you're overly focusing on here. It's the shooting part of it, right? Like, you're a gun line in a meta that has worked very hard to be able to deal with the prominent guns that are out there, right? So, if the amount of shooting that we were putting out was boostable in some way, I'd favour it more, but I'm just not convinced that there's a niche for it where there's lists it's playing into that don't have a way to make its shooting less effective or its knockdown less effective, or possibly both.
We could easily bring shooting that's almost entirely spray-based and do it with debuff casters.
So is this what, scattergunner spam?
Like Grim 1 have a big unit of scattergunners. They're rap 9. They're rap 12 on feet turn.
So I've got a question. What kind of Flames archetype is that actually going to be good into?
You may get hosed by Thamtrons, it's true.
I also think you'll just get ram-raided by Fiona. Like, just absolutely analysed. And I think against Striker 2 also, you're just asking for trouble.
I think you can play Striker 2 with that.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
With D-Cell and his feet and lols?
Yeah. My general take for playing Striker 2 a fair bit is that covering fire really ruins his day.
You've got one covering fire? Question mark.
You can. I think that it covers a lot of space. You should always bring long chops as your mercs, though.
Always, of course.
Get two covering fires. I don't know. Playing like single covering fire minions into Striker 2, I found that it makes a big difference being able to cover your important models. But I agree that Banner is better. But I think that Creel Company is not a bad theme. I think Creel Company is better than probably Storm and Power. Like I truly really like Creel Company. At the end of the day, you can always just bring Battle of Engines and Northkin Raiders and like a battle group.
Yeah, it's nice to have Mark Target on just about anything. So it's got a nice theme benefit, at least, unlike Storm for most casters.
Like, you've got access to most of the units you might possibly want to take. The only thing you'd really maybe ask for is champions, but you've got a skirmish unit and then all the shooting units with Mark the Target. It's got the widest list of models included of all the themes, right?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it, actually. It does have a lot of options, at least.
It's got basically everything in faction apart from champions, Fenblades, and Creel Warriors.
And Long Riders.
And Long Riders, yes, I've got Long Riders. And hey, now it's got General Twat Thundercunt.
Well, we could talk about him briefly, like, in terms of the abilities he actually brings to
yeah.
a Creel Company list. Like, so the most immediate thing is, like, Vet Leader, because that's something other factions have.
Yeah.
The fact that it's only for Pig is initially awkward.
Yeah. And the fact that your best Pig models, probably the tanks, already have Vet Leader.
Yeah, except for Leadfoot and Treads, who get to Rat 8 with him.
Hmm? Yeah.
But then you've got Bushwhackers, which is actually decent on, to be fair.
And even if you just run him forward for the turn, you pop up a little unit of Borrowers to make him Rat 5.
Yeah. They're base Rat 5.
Are they? Four. Okay.
No, the base were at 5, so they go to 6, which is like actually like acceptable.
For once, trolls have pleasantly surprised me.
Although we did find out how easy it is to stop pig burrowers popping up with like 3 Valkyries. So what else does he do? He does the +2 speed thing, which gives the degenerate ability to shoot into the deployment zone.
Yeah.
So we assume that that means burrowers are losing AD and getting nothing else.
Bushwhackers are losing AD.
Bushwhackers, sorry. Yeah.
I think you can just let that slide, man. It's trolls.
It depends whether they're okay letting a POW 21 drop into a deployment zone.
One POW 21.
Yeah, exactly. One. Like, I'm not saying it breaks the game in any fashion. I'm just saying whether it's, like, philosophically compatible with them. But they...
I will literally wager £10 that it is not compatible with philosophy.
So I guess what we can hope for is that the +2 speed gets removed and they give him something better.
Yeah, what if he gives them... What if he gets, like, fire for effect?
I want money shot. Absolutely.
Money shot would be nice.
It would be lovely. Like, that would be a good internal damage buff for trolls.
So we've touched a bit on the fact that having Boomhowler and Leadfoot both in theme is good. A thing we haven't really touched on is the problem trolls have with their merc slots right now. Because really, there are, in my opinion, 3 incredibly compelling merc options that you might want in trolls right now. Boomhowler 2, the Dunian Archon, and the Hermit.
Yes. I'd throw in the Wastelander, maybe. I'd really like to take him in themes if I had the option, but obviously we don't.
And the problem is that Dunian Archon is only in one theme, and it's Power of Dunia. Boomhauer is only in one theme, and it's Creel Company. Which means that if you want to take even those two, which are probably the two you most want, in the same list, you have to be more than these two themes, and that's a problem. And the only theme you can have 2 Dunian Archons in is Power of Dunia, and that's a problem, because Dunian Archons are way better when you have 2.
Yeah, they feel like they should be troll models, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I don't know why they're not.
They should be accessible in every theme, maybe for 2. Maybe not as rec options in every theme, but, you know.
Why not? It's trolls.
Yeah, well. You want to take Hermit, but Hermit gets disrupted by Boomhauer not working on him because of the partisan rule. And
that's fucking hysterical.
It's like all sorts of annoying little things like that. So you're like, Repo Hermit's like a premium thing.
Yeah,
but you don't get access to it because you're suddenly a troll, so you got worse than a minion.
Yeah, that's pretty silly. It's another problem, right? Like, it's another thing that trolls have against them, which is that the models that should definitely be troll models, that are probably the best models they have access to in every list, they can't actually bring because rules don't let them, even though they should definitely be trolls. Like, it's dumb. This isn't on the docket, but I would just, real quick, top 5 trollcasters right now, James?
Top 5 trollcasters. Spicy. Kalandra. I don't think anyone would argue with that, right?
No issues with that.
I'll probably say Doomy 3 as well. I think he's... I haven't played him yet, but I've seen him played, and he seems quite potent. Gristle 1. I think Gristle 1 is actually a good caster.
Yeah, agreed. Like, I really like her.
Probably Cold Grimmer. Although, I'm sure there'll be some disagreements. And I theoretically like Madrek 2 a lot. I just think he makes trolls hit hard in a way that appeals. And, like, Warpath is actually, like, a premium spell, right?
Yeah, it's a good spell. Agreed. Especially with access to, what's it, the silly Chaney one, the Brawler.
So Warpath and Blood Fury are both really good spells. And he is personally very difficult to kill and can do a lot of work. I like him as a caster. I'm not sure if he's one of the best, but I am keen to play him.
Yeah. Sometimes liking something is all the good reason you need to make something work. Like, you'll always want to make it work better if you have a preference for it.
Right. Oh, and I probably left Grim 2 off that list. I think Grim 2 is probably good.
Grim 2, okay. What's that? What do you reckon, Mark?
Kalandra, definitely. I think... Did we mention Gunbjorn at any point?
No, there? But you don't have to either if you don't think he's top 5.
No. I actually think he's very good, purely because of the strength of his tools. So Sniper's an extremely good spell. Rockwall's an extremely good spell. Explosivo is very meta-relevant. Guided Fire's not great in the context of trolls, because all the things that have guns are really high cost and inefficient for them.
Well, the same's true of Explosivo, right? Like, the things that are using Explosivo at the moment are kind of not good at killing lots of things at the same time.
You put it on a battle engine.
You put it on a battle engine? Oh, the spray, you mean? Like, it feels very medium.
Yeah, it's not like an Explosivo Vulcan, is it, right? But it's something. It's a tool that you have access to in the matchups where it's relevant. And then the feat is just, like, objectively a good feat. Like, it's one of the weirdly few sources of no knockdown in trolls, which is big. Getting cover on everything by default is sort of okay, but the big one is just no guns. Absolutely no guns. No gun es bueno. There's very few feats in the game that just turn off an attack type like that. That's a really powerful effect.
So, I think he's a good caster, but he just doesn't have the tools to exploit, to be exploited at the moment. Like, he has good spells, but there's just not the things there for him.
Sure, and that comes down to a philosophical discussion that sometimes you end up having when you talk about what the best casters are, which is, are they the best casters in the context of the models they have access to, or are they just really good casters? And that's something we could discuss for sure. But, like, moving on, I like Gristle 1, because good rules, good words, the fell calls are just really good, and so is the feat. Like, no arguments there. Doomy 3, you guys were pretty big fans of. I'm looking at the card. Like, there are good words here. The Scroll Bearer is a nice little addition to that. It's not great, but if you can get the feat to work, it's like a really powerful feat. So maybe there's a thing here.
I think that you say that Doomy 3's feat is the scrolls.
If they don't have the tech, you so can get what have I got? His feet, but there's so much tech. There's so much anti-healing out there, right?
Yeah. So speaking of that, for my fourth one, I think I'm going to go with Grim 2 purely because of mortality and snipe for a feat. Like, don't get me wrong. This is like that time I defended the Waldraff. Almost every other word on this gentleman's card is pretty dog shit. Like,
I think, like, Mirage and Mage Sight are fine. Like, it's aggravating that he doesn't have True Sight after his first iteration, but Mage Sight's okay.
Sure, but sometimes those things happen in transitions. The big one is, why the fuck does the feat grant Mark Target when Creel Company exists, and that's the theme you likely play him in?
Creel Company got CID'd.
Yes, that is a thing that happened to Creel Company, in which it definitely changed significantly for the better.
Yeah,
it
got the ability to take the
mauler. It got the ability to not be a joke, that's what it got. But moving on. I think that Grim 2 has the strength to be included in top 5, almost purely off the basis of mortality. You could make an argument for Grim 1 because of the strength of the feat, but the spell list just isn't quite there to get him there, whereas Grim 2 at least has a good spell.
It's like Grim 1 has like the only true control feat in Trolls. It's just such a shame that the rest of his card is the way it is. And it is bad.
Spoiler alert, you're going to hear me really rate Grim 1 in a second. In order, for me, Grim 1, Kalandra, Jarl, Grim 2, Gunbjorn.
Cheeky Jarl there.
I love Jarl.
I played him, and I thought he was decent, to be fair.
I think that giving Jarl free upkeeps turns him into an actual good caster. Because it means he can just shit out magic bullets and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's like magic bullets great, and the Rune Bearer can cast it, and Quicken's a good spell. And, you know, he's got some good things going on. I don't mind you putting Jarl in there.
Yeah, and I said Grim 1, Kalandra, Jarl, Grim 2, Gumbjorn.
I think Grim 1's generically, like, powerful because of his feat. Like, he's someone you can plug in, play, and he's always going to be, like, fairly good because he's got that feat.
For sure. But I think the rest of his kit's fine. Like, +2 threat on Warbeast is a neat ability to have on your gun, even though it's shield guardable.
Yeah, it's okay, it's okay.
Like, Wield Secrets is fine. Mark for Death is a good spell. His nuke is randomly actually a really good nuke. And if all he does is feet and then walk around shooting stuff with his gun, he's not done terribly out of his game.
No, his feet is great and his gun is good.
And he's got 29 Warbeast points. That's a good number.
That is a good number. Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the top 5, I'm just saying he gets there on the basis of how good his feet is.
Oh, for sure he does. For sure he does. But, like, coming on to our next topic, Skrill Company. As a minions player, Grim 1 is one of the casts I'm excited to have access to. I love Grim 1. But yeah, that's my top 5. I should probably have included Cold Grimmer. I really like Gristle 2. I consider putting Gristle 2 in there. Gumbjorn's probably worse than Cold Grimmer in reality, but, you know, I like Gumbjorn. He's got a cool bazooka.
But he's AoE 3 for some godforsaken reason.
I thought it was AoE 4 too. Don't worry. And Killshot's a really good Field Marshal.
It is a good Field Marshal. It's true.
Grim 2 is, like, I wish you didn't have to pay 5 points for mugs and crumb.
You don't think they're worth it?
No,
I was joking. Of course they're not worth it.
No, actually, I'm about to be reminded that Crump has Mantrap.
He does. Trapper.
Yes. Trapper is a good roll. Trapper is a really good roll.
Yeah, that's 5-inch AoE. But it is only a POW 10.
That's fine. He doesn't have to kill them, he just has to damage them.
It's also models without flight are not affected. Meta relevant.
Again, it's not about those, it's about stopping those skeletons from getting to your men.
It's all about those skeletons.
It's all about those spooky, scary skelly boys. I'm happy with my top 5. Moving on to some speculation. We know that trolls and minions are getting a mixed theme. We can take some guesses at what's going to be in it. It's going to be pig stuff, possibly including the Efferit models, which are in Thornfall Alliance, probably not including the other random solos in Thornfall. I think that it will be all the Creel Company units. I don't think it will keep the Northkin units. That doesn't feel right to me, so I think that it will lose the Northkin Creel Company units, which is a bit sad. It will get the what I would call the Creel casters, which is to say the Grimms, the Gristles, the Madrax, and Gunbjorn, in a kind of a lore basis. The Pharaoh casters...
No, like Borka, Calandra, Madrax kind of stuff.
No, I think... Yeah, Madrax, yeah. Gristles, Madrax, Grimms, and Gunbjorn is what I expect.
Okay.
That's a bit more of a guess. I've seen people suggest that Yarl will be in.
Okay.
I think that's possible. He's a Thornwood caster. That kind of fits. I don't think you'll see the Northkin casters.
So you're saying minions have won the lottery and now they can play Madrax 3?
Okay. And then it'll be the minions casters. I have a feeling Arcadius might get cut because Americans think that Arcadius will be scary with Rush, and I guess, whatever. I also have a feeling that either Carver will get cut or the Creelstone will get cut because that'll be a hell of a fucking negative play experience, holy shit.
You don't think plus 5's okay?
I don't think that Carver with a Creelstone is a thing that should be allowed. I just think it's obnoxious. I don't think it's broken. I just think that it'll be so obnoxious. I think it's one of those lists that won't be broken at a top level but will be a negative play experience at a club level, and I think that's the thing that's important.
It seems like it'll be a fucking annoying at every level, to be fair.
Yeah, I think that at the top level it will get dealt with because it's Carver and his kit is very linear and he doesn't do much. But I think that at a casual club level it will be one of those lists that everyone complains about because it's a negative play experience. I think for that reason it shouldn't be allowed to live.
Like get a striker 1 feet every turn.
Yeah, and it'll be all the pig models, probably including the Efferit, which means Wastelander.
Ooh.
But not including the... Wastelander's an Efferit, and I think the Efferit will be in because they're in Thornfall. But I don't think it will include the other Riot Quest solos, apart from Pig Tanks, obviously, because they're trolls.
Not Boom Howler.
It'll be Boom Howler. So yeah, Pharaoh models, Efferit models, troll models with ranged weapons that aren't Northkin models.
What's wrong with Northkin models? Is it they just don't like Northkin in this theme? Is that the deal?
I just don't think it makes sense.
Right, okay.
I think at the point where you'd say Northkin 2, what you've done is you've said Creel Company with all of the exact same models, but also some Pharaoh.
Right, okay. I saw it posted at some point that it was like religious elements or something like that, so are there Dunichons in here?
Yes, Dunichons will be right, for sure, okay. 100%.
I mean, this sounds pretty good, to be honest. Like,
it's a good theme, right? And I think that it won't have Arcadius and it may not have Carver, but it'll probably have Helgas and Midas. And no, Carver will be in. I think it might not have Arcadius. And it will have, like, all the beasts. So there's some obvious highlights here, right? Like, giving Grim 1 a theme where he can have 2 Dunichons, Boomhalla, and Leadfoot and Treads is obviously really good. Giving Grim 2 and especially Gunbjorn access to Roadhogs is obviously incredible.
Someone was talking about Brigands with Grim 2 as well, whether that's, like, a thing.
I think that Brigands are a key part of both of these lists. Mm. I think that Grim 2's Brigands... I think when you're bringing a ranged unit like Brigands in a list like the one you want to bring, where you're bringing a large battle group and a unit to do stuff, you don't want a unit that's only range 14 once, and that's why I think Gunbjorn will be better, because I think his Brigands will also be better, because they have Snipe every turn.
Sure.
But I do think that Snipe almost perfectly fixes Brigands. It turns them from a unit that struggles because they're slow, low range, to a unit that's suddenly long, a range 14 Repo 3 unit with guns.
They don't have CRA though, do they?
Yeah, no, they got Prey.
That's much worse than CRA. But
it is. I think that Sniped Brigands will be a legitimately really good unit.
I suppose Snipe gives them more access to their Prey, at least.
Yeah. And for me, those are the obvious highlights, right? Obviously, you have Valkyries, because Valkyries are excellent.
Oh, yes, that's...
Low-key highlights, the Pig Gun Crew is actually really good.
Which Pig Gun Crew?
The Razorback.
Oh, that thing.
You're gonna look at what it does. The Razorback is fucking great. Okay.
Is that only available in Pharaoh? Is that why I've never seen it?
Yes. I think that it is the second best Pharaoh unit. I'm going to state so in an article I write.
After Valkyries.
The Razorback is legitimately really good.
Let's see. What does it do?
So It's got advanced deploy, it's got native repo 3, and it's got a range 14, power 14 brutal damage. That's AoE 3. It's just a good weapon crew. It's got the best draw for weapon crew, repo 3. It's got advanced deploy, which gives it actually really good threat projection turn 1 and doesn't gets rid of the main issue weapon crews have, and it's got a decent gun.
Yeah, this little boy's, this extra guy has a just a normal pig iron as well.
It's just a good unit.
How many points is it?
It's 5. It's a weapon crew cost. It's just a good unit.
I hoped it was going to be 4 or something, but sure.
Yeah, I wish it was 4 too, but I think with 5 points, I rate the Razorback. I think it's a good little unit. Okay.
You don't rate slaughterhouses.
Oh man. So like okay, so here's the thing. Slaughterhouses with Gristle 2 are probably legit.
Ooh, their dash and deflection's not bad, right?
Dash and deflection is probably the exact kit that slaughterhouses need to be good.
That makes them threat like 12. No, 11. Okay.
And be 14-14 at range. What I'd really like to see from this theme is the theme benefit to give warrior models groundwork. That's what I'd really like to see. It's a variation on Rise for an army where every model is tough and will still be high defense when it's knocked down. That's what I'd really like to see. That's obviously speculation. I would love to see warrior models gain groundwork.
Well, if themes can have theme-wide immovable object, then maybe that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine, and I think that it's not obnoxious because the stuff's not going to be super high defense, so you can hit it again and it won't tough again because it's knocked down still. But it gives all these models that are tough a chance of not being auto-dead afterwards.
Okay, I could go for that.
So yeah, that's what I'd like to see. But yeah, Gristle 2 Slaughterhouses, Gumbjorn or Grim 2 with Roadhogs and Brigands. Helga 2, I think Helga 2 Mountain King is a low-key really fun shout because you get to report him, so his OP spray is Rat 6, and then you get to charge, you get to assault, kill shot, ancillary attack, and put out 3 Rat 6 Mountain King sprays, which is pretty sweet.
Nice. And he's...
It's just sweet interaction.
Would he be Rat, like, insane as well, 11 or whatever?
He would be Mat 11, yes.
Nice. Okay. I can go for that.
And like an Escort Sea King with rapport is obviously good as well, but I think the mount...
The ancillary attack's from Targ, isn't it? That's nice.
Yeah. And obviously like an Escort Sea King is really good and more like top loads exciting, but I think that the Mountain King is probably actually low-key better. Like, especially if the Northkin models sneak in and you also get lookouts. Because at that point you have Mark the Target available to make his 3 sprays Rat 8, and that's obviously really good.
And it is a super good spray, to be fair. To be fair to the lad.
When I thought about it, the Helga 2 stood out for that, and because if Northkin Raiders stay in, they're an ideal primed unit.
Because
they're a fast AD unit that occupies a lot of space, that has threatening enough free strikes that people don't walk out, and that with primed, this Mat 8, Pal 13, that doesn't suck.
No, it's not bad.
That was another sad scenario. It was Helga 2, Gumbjorn Grim 2, Grim 1 getting access to all the solos he wants, Gristle 2 Slaughterhouses were my highlights. And that's based on speculation, but I think that this theme has a lot of potential. The question is, do you think it would fix Trolls?
Well, I think it would probably be the most powerful theme in Trolls, like immediately, right?
Yes.
Because you get access to a lot of good stuff. Even if it's just the solos and the Dunicons and Wastelander and all that nonsense.
Assuming he's in, but I do think Wastelander will be, and I think it will include Effort.
I'd be so happy if he's in. Like, I want to play that model.
Is that why you switched away from Mercs, James? The real reason?
I was so crushed when I found out he didn't work for Mercs.
It was hysterical watching you realise that. And then we did something stupid like reading the card.
Oh, he's so cool. Like, his Shield Guard ability is so good.
It is. I don't like him when I don't have a Dooney Narcon in case he gets randoed. I'll tell you my favourite Wastelander story so far. I've got two. I killed Bridget, bottom of one, with Wastelander's pingback. Brad pinged back a battled Judicator rocket and the secondary scattered onto Harvey and Dirge.
Holy shit. pinged back a Judicator rocket.
Yeah, and the secondary scattered onto Harvey and Dirge. Absurd. So good. So good.
So there's one more thing that I wanted to bring up earlier. Ben, you mentioned that you don't think that Squeal Company is going to have access to Northkin models realistically, because then it's basically just Creo Company plus Faro models, right? So why then do you seem to think that Squeal Company is going to have access to all the Faro models? Because then it's just Thornfall plus Trolls, right? By the same principle.
Because, first of all, it doesn't. There are models in Thornfall Alliance that I didn't mention there. Thornfall Alliance has a lot of random... It has Scythe, for one thing. Thornfall Alliance has some random riot quest solos. I think that some of the pig casters might get left off. I think you might lose a few things like bone grinders, potentially. Also, I've got other reasons to think the Northkin won't be in. I just think that it doesn't make sense in terms of the fluff. I think that, in my head, this wants to be a theme that has the Creel stuff in it. So, like, the quote-unquote southern trolls, right? Not the Northkin models.
Yeah, they've got their own theme, right?
Yeah, and maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it will have Northkin Raiders and Lookouts, in which case it will be an even better theme. Maybe I'm just incorrect.
So if they literally just mush those two themes together. Yeah, I think if minions have access to this Squeal Company, then Thornfall becomes, you know, completely irrelevant.
It already is.
I know it is, but...
The best pig unit is already in Woolworth and its Valkyries.
Even if it was theoretically not pointless before, it would be now.
Yeah,
disappointing.
Maybe we're wrong. Maybe the Northkin will be in. Maybe Jarl will be in. Jarl's not impossible. He's a gunny caster, at least. Like, and there's going to be a Gunbjorn 2, I believe, as well.
Really? Oh, released with the theme or whatever?
Yeah, I've heard rumours of Gunbjorn 2.
So is this
2.
Like a CID for the future or something?
Yeah, so the CIDs were going to be this year. It was going to be Legion in the summer, dropping just before WTC, and then Trolls during WTC, dropping in November sometime. But obviously that's being put back now. And there was going to be like a Blight Archon for Legion, and then Minions Trolls were going to get this theme, and there was going to be a Gunny too.
Okay. So it's, before we actually see it, it's realistically going to be a long time.
Yeah. I think that we might not see it this year. Depending a bit on how COVID goes. I'd also like to talk a bit about Azazello, just because I've played him a bit. I think he's really cool, and he's the other release along with Chad Thundercuns. I mean, you played against him, James. My take was he was slow Iona, and that he really ran out of steam when his feet was
Yeah, it felt about right. It's like, because he's got no speed increase of any kind, it felt like he wasn't, like, projecting enough. And being slow Iona means you're not projecting the damage as well, because your stuff isn't... I suppose your Valkyries are vengeancing, aren't they? But...
I think the thing with minions list in general right now is that Primal Archons are so crucially important to the faction. Because they give you something you can throw up front that people have to commit to kill, and they let you start the peace trade by making them get Shadowbanned, killing a model that's hard to kill. And Azazello felt the same way. It felt like he really depended on forcing people to alpha primal jobs. Mm. And beyond that, I played him with a battle group that we like in the minions chat, which was a bunch of Gunboss, and I probably wanted heavies. Like, two Roadhogs and Battle Hall. I think he's really good.
So now comes the part of the cast where we're going to go through a couple of questions from our backers on Patreon. In this specific case, we're going to focus on the questions that we've been asked about trolls, because naturally the nature of the episode. But first, a quick thanks to our current backers as of the recording of this episode. So that's Andy Cutter, Anna Matone, Dan Bergstrom, Daniel Jesus Rios Garcia, James Morehouse, James Salt, Max Bassiouni, Nick Hurting, Nicky Oliver, Perry Besorps, Pete Soretti, Pete McCann, Simon Withers, Sven Dosh, Tom Cluis, and Tom Ashmucha. So the first question that we got, I believe, comes from Nick. Let me just have a look there. Yeah, so the question that we got asked was about the amount of anti-healing abilities that counter the access to healing that kind of defines trolls as a faction in the form of tough and other such abilities. So he asks if trolls deserve to, in the same way as the colossal rule, where they have a flat immunity to grievous wounds. So, do we think that trolls should have a similar effect where they can always heal?
I have a take on this, which is that I've always thought that feats should ignore grievous wounds. And I think that might help stuff like magic.
Do you think they should ignore entropic force as well?
Yes, I think that feats should ignore basically every effect that stops healing.
Like Doomy 3 and things.
Yeah, Doomy 3, Madrak 3, also like Abbey 1, Darius. I think basically every feat that heals stuff should ignore effects that stop healing. Just because the feat's meant to be the most powerful thing in the game, it doesn't make sense that a little 3-point bitch with a bat on her hand can turn your feet off.
That is quite a brilliant mental image. It's like, okay, so I've got this massive magical power that I'm going to let go. I'm going to buff the abilities of my Trollkin brethren to fucking resist all incoming damage for the Creels, for Madrak. Oh, fuck, there's a fucking tree. Right, pack it up, lads. Can't heal.
Yeah, precisely. But that's exactly what I mean. Like, I've always thought that feats should ignore those effects. I think feats should be a thing that exists to an extent outside of the rules.
I'm going to just add a little caveat onto these Patreon questions here. We've been asked to answer with Scottish accents because trolls.
No.
I'll do Irish. How about that? I can do Irish. I'm going to
tentatively approve this. On the proviso that if you fuck this up, I'm going to nuke this segment of the cast from orbit.
Okay, so I think that I do think that feats should generally ignore rules like entropic force and stop healing. They're meant to be like the most powerful effect your army has, and I'm just not sure that one of them.
Irishmen very quickly moved to New York.
I know, that's the problem. I'm really good at New York.
I know you are, and I knew this was what would happen.
I tried to do a D&D character with an Irish accent once, and it always ends up in New York.
So, our apologies to Loth Caramon there, who did not get his first patron request. Are we happy to call there about discussing whether trolls should ignore tough, or did you have anything... ignore effects that block tough, or did you have anything to add, Sykes?
It could replace something like Call of Defiance, which, you know, at the moment just gives you tough while you knock down, which is kind of shite.
Maybe we could hard-code the armour from the Cruel Stone and ignoring... anti-healing effects, I think, that Cruel Stone could provide.
That would be cool.
It does feel like Swallow the Spider, Catch the Fly kind of school of game design, though.
Just put up with it, Mark. Swallow the fucking spider, okay? We're so far down that rabbit hole, we're swallowing like a tiger.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, in all seriousness, though, right? Like, we're bringing in abilities... to counter abilities that counter other abilities. This is getting a bit much. Like, I'm just not sure that this is a sustainable path for game development going forward on that basis.
To be fair, it's not like Entropic and Grievous Wounds are new abilities that are introduced. They were just massively proliferated at a certain stage, right? So that's always existed, but now we're trying to shove extra stuff in to deal with them.
Yeah, but what happens when we then have too much... tough effects that ignore Entropic Force and Grievous Wounds, and we need to go for fucking mass heat death of the universe force and get around it that way.
I guess the idea is that at some point we exercise restraint in giving these abilities out.
I don't understand. Can you please clarify this statement?
Maybe we give...
Thanks, Ben. Ben, have I ever told you that you are basically a twat pushed out of a cunt?
Leave that in. Basically, let me start talking and just put a big beep and then cut back to you saying that with no context.
Yeah, do that.
That would be so good.
Sure, you know what? Fine, I'm just about fucking ready to do it. At this point.
Has this been the worst one yet?
You know what, mate? I think it has.
Sorry, I derailed your talk conversation with my joke.
Joke, yes. So, there was one more Patreon question that we could potentially have had a look at, is whether trolls need a fury management option beyond what they already have, and whether that would help out. So, like, Scorn has Paingivers, Everblight has Shepherds. Could we consider, for example, looking at the Dunian Knot? And that one was asked by Cooney.
I think they have one. They have Dunian Knots.
Yeah, they need access to it.
Yes, that.
It's a great fury management tool, but they need access to it. And it does lots of other good things too.
And honestly, whelps are fine. I think whelps are like...
I've been putting whelps in most lists because like at its core level, it's 5 solos, 4 points, which is just good. And they do things.
I don't think this is the problem that's important.
No, the problems are mainly stats related and points related on certain key things. It's not like there are no good models in trolls, you know.
I would like to take one more Patreon question.
Go ahead.
Is Ragnar a good caster? And that's been it for Nightscast today, folks. Thanks for listening. I've been Ben.
That was certainly very telling there. Like, I think that Sykes is probably of more value than anything else we're about to say.
No, I've genuinely assumed that we just cut off to that to be honest.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching Nightscast this week. I've been Ben.
I've been Mark.
I've been James.
And now I'm going to proceed with the outro.
Defeat or not defeat? That is the question. Whether it is nobler in this turn to endure the spikes and dip of outrageous dice, or to use abilities against the enemy's luck, and, by feating, end it. To lose, to drink. Score 4, and by feating, to say we end the boredom of the grinding hours of Deathlock the War Machine is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To feat, to score. To score, perchance to win. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sweet victory what elation may come when we have ended early and gone to lunch. Must give us joy. There's the buffet that makes worth of so long a drive. For who would eat the pies and cakes of Sherwood? The winner's prize, the loser's consolation, the pangs of requited hunger, the lore of the day, the first round haste of hungry nerds that thus they might their consumption take with a turn 2 feet. Who would otherwise bear to think and sweat under a grindy game but that the dread of arriving late, the reality of an empty plate from whose sorrow no gamer recovers, puzzles the will, and makes us rather score at points we can than leave to others to feat and yeet. This hunger does make aggression of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er for the pale lack of thought, an enterprise of great luck and momentum, with disregard their current turn awry and lose in the name of dice.